CliffCentral.com.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. Good morning. It's Monday. Get up, you lazy son of a bitch. It's time to start your day.
Wow.
All the gorgeous people are up this morning. We've got a full week ahead of us. It's spring. It's September. Napambili.
Yes.
I love it.
Nobody is allowed to be in a bad mood from this point onwards for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. We're going to enforce that with an iron fist if we have to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what we'll do with that iron fist, but, you know, it could get ugly. That's all I'm saying. Good morning to the beautiful Mabale Moloi. Good morning to Michael Flax. Good morning to you. It is a pretty gorgeous day outside. It's warming up beautifully. Everybody's excited. The birds are chirping. It's spring. And I got to apologize for my bad mood over the last few days. I always do this. I become really difficult when I'm stressed. And I get nasty and I get negative. And I suppose it's just my defense mechanism. And I've figured that out over, you know, the last sort of 20 years, that's what happens to me. When I'm stressed, I become really, really difficult to be around. I get grumpy. I take it out on people who don't deserve it taken out on them, like my listeners and the people I work with. And it's just not on. I mean, I've got to eventually grow up. I think I should go for therapy.
That's a big step to take.
I think I should go for some therapy, figure out what this where this anger comes from whenever I'm stressed. Because I shouldn't be angry. I mean, I should be excited. There's so much good stuff going on, you know? So childish.
Gosh, okay.
God, I'm complicated. What a stupid asshole I am. Could have been so much better, you know?
You know, you're not the worst asshole in the world as far as the scale of that goes. You're not the worst.
Yeah, well, what, compared to Trump and the devil.
There was a video of Trump circulating over the weekend of him in one of those African-American churches, but it just looks
so 100%
bad. Awkward.
Oh, it's so bad. Someone actually posted that video, and then they said, this is like when the landlord pitches up to the church because his rent is due, and the church hasn't paid, and he's actually just there to make sure he gets paid.
And he's just looking around, looking confused.
It's terrible.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
It is terrible. All right. But we got a whole jam-packed, action-packed, exciting show for you today. There's so much going on. We're going to have a minister, the Minister of Sport, Fiki Nimbalula, will pop by on the phone.
Oh.
We're going to chat with Fat Joe. You know, he resigned from East Coast Radio. That lasted all of what? A month? Not even.
Not even. I'm very confused about what that's all about.
So I got hold of Joe yesterday and I said to him, we've got to talk to you, dude. We're going to speak to a guy called Michael Tellinger. Now, this guy is fascinating. He says that there were ancient civilizations before us that could use power of sound, and they had all kinds of power to build things. And he says here in Africa, we had southern African civilizations that have been wiped out that there's no record of. But he could find ways. I mean, he's an archaeologist, he's a scientist, he's a politician, he's an author. So he's a fascinating guy called Michael Tellinger. And he reckons that long before our ancestors came along, there was already an advanced civilization living here. Sort of an Atlantean type thing. So I'm always excited to hear about stories like that, because I don't think we know the full story about our past. I think there are parts of human history that aren't easy to figure out, that don't just go in a straight line, you know? We're still figuring out what those are.
Well, that's why we need archaeologists.
No.
Just take what happened last year with, what's his name? That new species that they found or something like that?
What, you're talking about that Homo
naledi? Yes, Homo naledi.
Yeah,
that threw a spanner in the works.
It did, kind of, and we're still not sure how old Homo naledi is. But anyway, we'll figure it out. But the exciting thing is, like, we live in a time now where nobody is punished for their beliefs, and people aren't told to shut up and be quiet and not go against, you know, religious dogma, for example, and all the rest. So there's a lot worth talking about that can suddenly come to light without someone having to worry about their head being cut off because they're upsetting the Pope or something.
Or being tied to a pole and having stones thrown at them.
Yeah, that used to happen.
Unbelievable.
You miss those days?
Don't I miss those? No, I'm quite okay with those days being gone, hey?
Oh, all right.
Kishap.
I see that Mother Teresa was sainted over the weekend. She was canonized as a saint. How do you like them apples?
Yeah.
Huh? What does that mean exactly? Is that she's Saint Teresa now? She's not just Mother Teresa? I think that's what's happened there. Hey,
what,
Ben.
What does canonized mean? That sounds like something out of the circus.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like you put her in a cannon and like shoot her into the sky. Like Hunter S. Thompson's ashes. No, it's canonized is the terminology they use for when they make a saint out of somebody.
Depicting elevation to godliness and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they had to show that during her life she made a miracle or something, and they dug far and wide and high and low. There's actually someone called the Devil's Advocate, it's an actual person who has to explain why she shouldn't be sainted.
So that's his job title. What?
That's where it comes from. He's there to represent the point of view that isn't the church's point of view. And he argues, or she argues, against the canonization of a saint. That's where the name comes from.
I'm pretty sure with Twitter, that person's redundant nowadays. Open up with a hashtag.
Yeah, there was so much fun stuff going on about Mother Teresa. I just stayed the hell out of it because, you know, people don't like to have their religion questioned or played around with. And it's amazing. Even like someone like Ranjini Moonsamy, who's usually so smart and has a sense of humor about everything, she just lost her sense of humor about Mother Teresa because people were going at, you know, that this woman was, she was basically anti-feminist. She was basically anti-women having control of their reproductive cycles. She was anti-emancipation of women, Mother Teresa. She believed that women should have every child they're impregnated by some man with. In other words, that even if you were raped, there's no excuse. Abortion is the most evil thing you could do. She was against the emancipation and education of women in India. And she didn't really care about the living. She was more interested in the souls of the dead. And people were saying this to Ranjini, and she was getting very hot under the collar because she's a Catholic. Yeah. I didn't even know she was a Catholic.
I also didn't know that she was a Catholic, but that's what we do, is when somebody threatens something that you hold dear.
Yeah, you get upset.
You become emotional about it.
Right. Even someone like Ranjini, who's really pretty, you know, straightforward and straight-laced. I mean, look, I'm not untouchable when it comes to this stuff. I lose my sense of humor sometimes, too. For example, on Friday, I checked in at the Slow Lounge on my way to Durban.
I saw that post.
I've got a couple of funny stories to tell you. Remind me about the. Remind me about the waiter. Remind me about the trolley, and there's something else.
Comments book made my Friday. That was so funny.
So anyway, yeah, look. I mean, I thought it was funny too, but clearly, you know, there were a bunch of people who didn't. So I got to the Slow Lounge, and you know, you check in, and there are these lovely women behind the counter who are always smiling, and they're nice to everybody, even though they're probably tired of seeing everyone.
Yeah.
And you go up to the counter, and you go, hey, how are you? And you give them your card, and they check you in, and you can go and sit in the Slow Lounge. It's one of my favorite things about being at the airport, and there's not a lot about being at the airport that's nice. Because you could just chill there. You could do your work. If you arrive early, you can even book a massage. I mean, it's just the most amazing place in the airport, without a doubt, right? And I don't work for BA, and the Slow Lounge don't give me anything for free. So I'm just giving them a plug because they're amazing. So I see the comment book on the table in front of these two women who are running the counter.
Comment book?
There's a comment book.
Yeah, they still have
those. Now, you should look. I know they mean well, but you should not have a comment book.
Why not?
Because people are going to write shit in there that you don't want to hear. And it's a self-important nonsense thing. Like, there is no reason for anyone to have to write their I don't care about people's comments. You've got social media now. Everyone has an opinion. Some guy who's just fallen out of bed has 5 followers. So let's just forget about comment books.
Also, putting a comment book in an airport is like putting a comment book in a complaints department.
Right. It's going to be filled with people's shit. Right?
People are just tired. They don't want to be at an airport. They want to be at their destination.
Right, exactly. They're not excited to be there is basically what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. So this guy writes, or girl, I don't know who it is, suggestion please! Exclamation. By the way, it's all in caps.
It has to be, because it's so important.
Some of us have dietary restrictions. Can the Slow Lounge do not provide some food items in sealed packages? I mean, the grammar's all over the place.
Well, you know, when you are fuming and you're angry.
I don't know if this person was even angry. I mean, they did say, please, do not provide some food items in sealed underlined packages so that customers can see the, in brackets, certified ingredients. Please, exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. So I just wrote next to it because I thought it was funny. I'm not looking for trouble. I don't care if people have dietary restrictions or not. Everybody's got some allergy. You know, some people, this is very serious. But I'm trying to be funny. It's Friday. So I write there, ignore this idiot at all costs. And I put an arrow.
Oh, dear. Oh,
but,
dear.
But look, I didn't sign it, Gareth. I'm not looking for attention. And then I thought, but hang on, that is kind of funny. I think maybe some people who follow me might appreciate my sense of humor. That's why they follow me, you'd expect. So I take a picture of it and I put it up on Instagram and then Twitter and Facebook.
Uh-oh.
Well, Instagram and Twitter were fine. They loved it. But then Facebook, I get this woman who, she writes like 8 paragraphs about how she's got a legume and nut addiction. And now I'm the devil because her addiction is, you know... Before I know it, it's just become this disaster, this mess, where everybody's got an opinion, and this one is bad, and this one's the right opinion, and Gareth is just so inconsiderate, and what a prick, he's always looking for attention. I lost it. I'm like, you know what? I had enough of social media. I'm just blocking people and making my life happy. And also, you know how I was last week. By the way, Ben, I apologized for being such a dick last week.
It was very sincere, Ben.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I said I'm going to look into therapy so I can figure out why I'm such an angry person.
Gareth, your therapy is right here and you know it.
Yeah.
The therapy is right in front of you and it's got a little cushion on the end.
Hey, listen, if you want to call us, 0861-555-189, tell us what you're up to this morning and we'd like to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your life. We'll get to some news in a moment or two. We'll get to some sport. We'll speak to Anthea. We've got Fat Joe on the line. We're going to speak to the Minister of Sport, Fikile Mbalula. And ahead of the Olympics, we're going to speak to old Jeffrey Yates. You remember Jeffrey did the sport for us the one morning? Well, I didn't know. Jeffrey's in a wheelchair. And he is quite a sport fan. And he's also the guy who's going to tell us about the Paralympics.
Yeah, I'm actually going to do a full-length interview with Jeffrey. He's a lot more interesting than I think we gave him credit at the beginning. I also didn't know. I was on the other side of the world just hearing some guy talking.
No, he did a pretty good job, as I recall.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. So we'll speak to Jeffrey as well. So there's lots of people popping by this morning. It's going to be jam-packed. And you got to stick around. Otherwise, you're going to miss out on something. All right? Everybody clear on that? Let's have some fun. It's Monday morning. Touch Central, cliffcentral.com. Let's go. Come on. Doing just fine before I met you. I drink too much and that's an issue, but I'm okay. Good morning, everybody. It's Chainsmokers with Closer.
Very, very bad habit, that.
What, the chain smoking?
Yeah. It's not ideal.
No. But it is Monday morning and you're on touchcentral.fm and cliffcentral.com. Good morning, you sexy people. Yes. All right, let's get into it. Let's see what we've got to do today. I got Zama on the line. Should we go to Zama straight away?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go to Zama. And then we'll take your calls, apart from Zama's call, on 0861-555-189. Good morning, Zama Zogo Zetlama.
Morning, how are you guys?
What's happening, baby?
Oh, I'm starting with 8-week grid challenge at the gym today.
Uh-oh.
Are you starting today?
I'm starting today. I'm actually on my way there, and I am so fat, you guys. I'm so unfit, I'm just...
Listen.
I just want to finish the 80.
Can you hear my Bali and I sighing like this? Do you know why? Because I must tell you something. I was on the beach on Saturday, right? Because I was down in Durban, so I thought, I'm not going to waste this. It's a beautiful day. And I went down to the beach. And I was lying there like a whale. I looked at this fat belly of mine. I almost threw up. And I could tell there were people walking past me who just were disgusted to even be in the same outdoor area.
Can we have those just natural bodies where like they just flat and they're like we can eat whatever we want? I mean, like, really, why do I have to do this?
You know what, Zama? I wish that was possible. Like, you could just click your fingers and you'd suddenly have, like, 10% body fat. And, you know, I just looked at this fat belly of mine. I actually said, because my sister and her boyfriend were down there, and I said to my sister, look at how this look at this fat belly of mine. I was. It's revolting. It's like the most off-putting, unattractive thing.
Yeah, but I just want to send a shout out to the team that are starting today. I just want to say, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, let's do it, Zama, and good luck to you for today. I don't know if day one is the worst or if it's day two that's worse because you're recovering from day one. But good luck to you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys. Keep up the good work. I love you so. Just keep up the good work.
No, we love you too. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right, gorgeous. Bye-bye. There we go. There's Zama. Yeah, I looked in the mirror. You know how you, when you're on your own and no one else is around, you kind of stand in front of the mirror. I was wearing underwear, so I wasn't naked, because then I'd be even more depressed.
Did you take pictures?
No.
Because they say that that's what you should do. They say you should be butt naked, and you should take before pictures, and then you must keep track of yourself that way.
Well, I've decided. Next couple of weeks, and I'm sticking to this until I get to my goal. Next couple of weeks, no carbohydrates I don't absolutely need. In other words, I'm just going to cut them right down. No sugary anything. No sweets, no drinks, no
alcohol.
I'm just cutting the sugar right out, right? And I'm just going to see how it goes, because the thing I've never done is a diet. I've done lots of exercise. I'm doing pretty much a decent amount of exercise in the week. I go to the gym 4 to 5 times a week. I'm lifting weights. I'm trying to, you know, do a bit of cardio. So I'm doing that stuff. Now it's just down to diet. So I'm going to do the diet right. And I'm going to start changing up the exercise regimen as well. If I look like this in December, I'm not leaving my house. Done. Well,
Gareth, the offer still stands. I'll throw you around the gym for a couple of weeks and you'll be amazed what your body can do.
I'm kind of scared of that, though.
No, but let's do it. Because I was saying to Ben, you know, I can only start in like October because I need to rearrange my work schedule or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, the biggest problem, like I am a yo-yo person, so I gain and lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Repetitively.
Yeah.
But every time that I allow myself to gain the weight again, I just sit there and I think, how could you let this happen again, you idiot?
I just hate the way I look. I looked in this mirror on my own. No. On Saturday night, I was standing in front of the mirror. I was getting dressed to go to these events that I had to do. And I looked at myself in this mirror and I felt depressed.
There are a lot of us feeling that.
And you know, you pull your stomach in and you think, well, that doesn't look too bad.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not doing too badly.
And then you try and pull your jeans up and you're like, oh no, it's that bad.
It's that bad. Yeah. Oops, got to add another. And then your clothes that you've bought that you like don't fit you as well as they used to. It's terrible. It's just a disaster.
Do you know what method could work? It's sort of like a hit rock bottom bounce back method.
Mm-hmm.
So you just eat so much junk food and you put on a bit of weight and then you just feel terrible about your body that you hit rock bottom and you never want to be here. And then you just bounce back. You smash the gym. You eat healthy for months and months. And then you just bounce back.
I'm not looking for motivation. I've got all the motivation in the world to look good. Because first of all, I've always said rude things about fat people. So I can't get fat. Otherwise, I'm going to be torn to pieces by the hyenas. So I have to fix that. I don't need motivation at this point. What I need is self-discipline. And that's what I'm going for. That's
like
what I'm
eating and stuff.
Yeah, you're very good at that, actually.
I haven't been good at it. Whenever I'm sick, I'm bad at it. I have no care for diet or gym.
Yeah, but when you're sick, I mean, listen, all rules are suspended when you're sick because you need to get better.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we've got things to do, people to see, places to go. We'll take your calls this morning. We'll take your messages on WeChat, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And you can also get hold of us on Skype and on the phone lines, 0861. 555-189. We go. What's the new Skype?
So, if you want to get hold of us on Skype now, add Touch Central as a contact. You can reach us on Touch Central on Skype.
Okay, do that now because there's going to be a day where you're going to want to weigh in on a conversation. Bring it on. You know, store it on your phone. You can create a contact for us. Create a Touch Central contact and then add all the numbers. Add the Twitter, add the Facebook, add everything, and then you can talk to us whenever you want. You could also use the app, by the way, because you could send a message directly to us on the app. Greg says, guys, you're preaching to the choir. I need to change my body. At least I'm in gym at the moment. Well, good for you.
Mm.
And then it is hashtag Twertsoch Day on Twitter. For your annual dose of nihilism and pessimism, check out that hashtag. What is that all about,
Roman? How do you spell that?
T-W-E-R-T-Z-O-G. I don't know what that is. I saw some tweets over the weekend about this, but I have no idea. You know, sometimes some of these memes just skip past you. You don't know what they're talking about. So if you could clear that up for me, that would be great. Dominic says, can we have a referendum on the extra music? Well, it's not that much extra music, but yeah, sure. Supernova says, been trying to start up my own idea and read something this weekend that changed everything. The saying goes, don't chase money. You need to attract money. I've been doing it all wrong. All wrong. Yeah, that's about right. If you chase money, you're just going to be running down the hill. Money will roll that much further and faster ahead of you. Demo says, hey guys, hello from Dubai. Isn't that nice?
Mm.
Yeah. All right, and then some other messages too. You can do the same thing. Get a hold of us this morning. Tell us what you're up to, all right? So, busy day, as I said. Lots of people are coming in to talk to us. Fat Joe, Jeffrey Yates, Figile Mbalula, and Michael Tellinger, among others, and you. Plenty of exciting stuff. Let's get straight into it. Mubs, what have you got for us in the news this morning? It is 5:30, so in a moment we'll find out from Mabali what's happening in the news.
Well, I can't tell you much about hashtag Twerzoch.
Okay, well, we'll find out what that is too. I just want to get some music in, and then we'll go to the news. Was that not... I didn't brief you.
Sorry, I'm just... I'm not awake yet.
No. So let's get caught. Deep Cotton featuring Jadena. It's time for Mabali Moloi to give us the latest in the news. Everything you need to know. You wake up sometimes after the weekend and you haven't paid any attention to the news. And who could blame you? It might spoil your weekend if you did pay attention to it. But this morning, you get everything you want and more. Here's Mabs with the latest.
Okay then.
What an introduction.
Second trending topic for this morning, hashtag yeah. Occupy Luthuli House. Yes, it's
all right. What is this all about?
Okay, so there are a group of ANC members who have basically called for the president to be recalled, and they want the entire NEC executive to resign.
Wow.
All right.
That's wishful thinking.
They started their call last week when they interrupted briefings, media briefings and proceedings that were meant to take place ahead of the NEC meetings over the weekend. But wait, there's more. This group is also calling on stalwarts to organize a conference by December. They also want the Fees Commission disbanded. The Fees Commission was put together by the president to try and resolve this issue surrounding fee increases in the country's tertiary institutions, but this group of protesting ANC members say that the commission undermines the resolution of free and quality education. The group have described this as a peaceful protest, concluding that they remain resolute and stand with the ANC, basically saying that we are the children of the ANC. But they want the president to be recalled and they want the NEC to resign.
So this is...
today they're going to be back occupying Luthuli House.
So this is ANC on ANC
yes,
argument.
Yes, it's... what is it? It would be intra-party, not inter.
That's right.
Yeah. Intra-party divisions.
Here's a nice word for you for today, Flax. Internecine. Will you say it for me once?
Intimacy.
Internecine.
Internecine.
Internecine. Internecine.
It's like into the scene, but fast. Into the scene.
Did I spell that right? Intern, N-E-C-E-N-E. Internecine.
What does it mean?
It means like within the family, within the group, people are having a go at each other. It's internecine argument and disagreement and... violence sometimes.
According to Google, it's destructive to both sides in a conflict.
Right. Well, inside the same thing. So it's damaging to the party in this case. Internecine. All right. There's our new word for the day. What else is in the news?
Meanwhile, the ANC Women's League have an entirely different priority that they're dealing with, Gareth.
Yeah. What's that?
Well, they're questioning the sudden interest from several quarters in protecting the finance minister, Pravin Gordhan.
What is wrong with this Women's League? I mean, it's Women's Month last month. Nothing.
Yeah.
Not a peep. There was that that ridiculous march to the Union Buildings, you know, to commemorate, or it wasn't even a march, it was a commemoration of the Women's March all those years ago, because it's like 100 years ago or whatever it is. And it can't be 100, it must be like 50 or 60, it doesn't matter. Fact is, that was the only thing that you heard from Batabile Dlamini and those ANC Women's League leaders. Now they raise their voices about Pravin.
Yeah. You know, every time I read...
These women are so in the pocket, in the jean pants, in the pouch in the front of the president's underpants. That's where they are.
Well, this is the thing, is every time I read a statement that comes from the ANC Women's League, and if you go onto Twitter, it is immediately torn to shreds. I don't know that there are a lot of people, certainly not on social media, who take the Women's League seriously.
I don't think there should be.
Yeah.
I feel very bad because, I mean, the Women's League was created for the right reasons, but it's become this ultra-patronizing place for women to kind of have their say, but they're really only there to say things that the president approves of and to support him. And it's basically become like an echo chamber. It's very sad.
It is completely sad considering the organization they once were. And a lot of people have some unkind things to say when referring to the Women's League. They call them everything from the mouthpiece for the president to even the president's mascots, which is hugely, you know, just patronizing.
Yeah, well,
but
it.
Anyway, according to the Secretary General of the ANC Women's League, they've expressed their concern, saying that if you're a member of the ANC and are being called to account, you must go and account. And it's as simple as that. They want Pravin Gordhan to go and account. Also under review at the NEC meeting, which took place over the weekend, were the statements made by Mineral Resources Minister Msebenzi Zwane. Zwane basically recommended that that cabinet make a change to the Banks Act that would allow the finance minister to control bank licenses.
Yeah, the worst part about this story is that cabinet released a statement, or the presidency released a statement on Friday night at about 7 o'clock, saying we distance ourselves from what Msebenzi Zwane is saying. Nobody knows what's going on there anymore. Like, a minister says something quite significant about how banking... I mean, he's the Minister of Mining, and he's got no idea of what he's doing. He comes from Warden in the Free State and has never really been the kind of guy who you could rely on to comment on things like central banking. Tito Mboweni was tweeting, like, read the act, dude. Read what the bank's there for. And this guy's mouthing off because all he wants is to protect his benefactors, the Guptas. And then when he does say something, even the presidency say, look, that guy's talking in his own capacity. Ignore him, please.
We don't know what memo he's reading from, but he obviously got the wrong memo.
Oh, my God.
And so the national spokesperson, Zizi Godwa, has called for President Zuma to discipline Zwane for what he has called reckless statements.
Zizi called for the president
to
discipline Zwane.
Yes, Msebenzi Zwane.
The spokesperson of the ANC is calling on the president to discipline a minister.
Yes, what's wrong with that?
Oh, my God. The ANC is so confused. I don't think they know whether they're a teapot or a hockey stick right now.
I think that they're going through a very difficult time at the moment,
Shame.
Gareth.
Let's have a moment of silence for all the confusion in the ANC. Maybe in that moment of silence they can figure out what they're doing. Wait. And there we are. Okay, let's move on. Ben, what do you got for us in the sport this morning? Because there's so much to cover. The Paralympics start this week, right?
Yeah, they do, Gareth. But we're going to chat to Jeff in a little bit. He'll tell us more about the Olympic prospects for South Africa, prospects. Just some bad news, though. Aussie gold medalist Michael Gallagher, he's a Paralympic rider, cyclist for Australia, tested positive for the Lance Armstrong-enabled EPO.
So even at the Paralympics, there are people taking performance-enhancing drugs.
See, now, this is what you must not misunderstand about this, the Paralympic. It is every single bit as cutthroat, as competitive, and demanding on people as the normal Olympics. So classification cheating, that's another thing. Now, I want to bring this up later on in the week. Some people are exaggerating their handicaps, their disabilities, in order to then
become... It's like those guys at the traffic lights.
Yeah, so basically what they're doing is they're exaggerating, so they get classifications against people who are obviously less able than they are. And then people are saying, well, you know, what's the point of competing? This guy isn't nearly as handicapped as I am, but we're in the same classification. So I'll get more into that this week. So SA are among four countries bidding for the 2023 Rugby World Cup, the other ones being Ireland, Italy and France. On face value, they shouldn't even come close to South Africa, which has most amazing stadiums, the rugby culture, infrastructure, weather, blah, 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 all brilliant. The question is, though, weren't we just allowed to do so because SA Rugby hasn't met transformation criteria? Well, luckily, Gareth will be chatting to Fakil and Baluda about this and other things in about an hour's time. Warren Gatland has been retained as the British and Irish Lions coach for the 2017 Tour of New Zealand, a tour which will have 10 matches, three of which will be test matches. They'll lose all of them, basically. New Zealand are incredible. Mm-hmm. And Alison Janshees, well, he's still not a certainty for Saturday. He's still with a tight thigh slash groin. Oh. So if he doesn't come through, then what happens? Well, when you think about it, international rugby, you need a proven goal kicker, right? Now, Morne Steyn didn't exactly possess that quality against Argentina, but when push comes to shove in that one, he will crack the nod. As much as we want to see Johan Kuusen maybe start at 10,
yep.
Kicking-wise, not a certainty, is it? Curry Cup of the weekend, the Sharks finally lost a game. Province played bloody well, beating them 34-27. Mm-hmm. The Cheetahs mauled the Eastern Province team 57-25. And the Blue Bulls got, well, a little bit of revenge back from Super Rugby. They hammered the Golden Lions 31-17. And Boland beating the Pumas 25-22.
Right.
AFCON qualifiers from the weekend. South Africa, Bafana Bafana, as limp as ever. They drew 1-1 with Mauritania, even though they missed a penalty and towards the end, and they had so many chances. So you got to start asking the question, should Sheikh Mashaba even be still in charge of this team? They're going to have a World Cup qualifier, the first one, the 3rd of October versus Burkina Faso. So is it worth taking this guy out? Is it worth keeping him in? Are we just, again, kind of becoming okay with mediocrity? All questions have to be asked around here. Right. But teams that aren't quite as crap as us, Burkina Faso, Democratic Republic of Congo, Togo, Tunisia, Uganda, Algeria, Cameroon, Egypt, Ghana, Guinea-Bissau, Ivory Coast, Mali, Morocco, Senegal, and Zimbabwe.
All right, all we've got to watch those and we've got to support those teams because they're the only ones that we know we'll beat.
All of those teams are qualified for AFCON. They're the ones that have gone through.
Okay.
Can you imagine it? Zimbabwe? I mean, what's happening in Zimbabwe right now? Uh-huh. Fires, turmoil.
Right.
All they qualify for AFCON. What's happening here in this country? Our players have everything they need. Don't qualify. Again okay. and again.
See,
and
you
again.
Need to point that out for perspective.
It's just, it's heartbreaking, Mubs. It really is. It's just constantly ongoing. Maybe we can chat to the minister about this as well. Ram have not renewed their contract with CSA about the T20, right? Now, we knew last year. Well, excrement hit the fan there in a big way because there was match fixing involved. Some people were thrown on the bus. Some people were found guilty. Others just got off. Gulen Bodie on patch of the jackets. Anyway, November 12th, this T20 league starts, right? Yeah. Cricket South Africa do not have a sponsor for that.
Uh-oh.
That is worrying. Another thing that's been put into place, officially there are now racial quotas in the Proteas team. 54% of the team has to be black. Okay. 18% of that has to be African, black African. Sorry, right. I get this mixed up.
Do they have a skin color chart so that we can determine who is and isn't black African enough?
I don't understand.
You know, like a switch, you know, those swatch thing. What are they saying? You know, when you go and buy paint.
You go buy paint, yeah.
54% have to be
black.
And then 18%?
Of those.
Black African.
So in the 54%, you're including basically black colored Indian.
Yes. No, but all kinds of other...
Well, basically like, everyone who's not white. Right.
Basically, yeah. Mubs, we're getting away from the term non-white because that's really offensive and we can't have that anymore. Okay, right. So basically it's just being termed black, but you've got to have black African.
Okay.
Okay, so that's just what you need to
so do. So you basically you people aren't African.
That's what they're saying, yeah. That's no, pretty much what they're saying.
Basically, we just refer to it as you people. Well done, Mubs. You got the classification dead on. You
I mean,
people.
If we...
They're going to be...
If we use the term you people anywhere else, there's going to be a riot.
There can only be 46% of you people.
Yeah,
in
suck
cricket.
It up, white people.
Yeah. And going to the match today, 46% of the you people is led by AB de Villiers.
Yeah, and listen, didn't he launch his book last week? Yeah, I saw a special on Carte Blanche last night with AB in his book, and I didn't even... I like AB. I mean, I know the guy, but yeah. I couldn't be bothered to watch.
Gareth, horrible reality. You need to have a book like Herschel Gibbs' book. Basically say that you've had... mixed marriages, drugs and sex to actually sell in this country. So AB's book will be great as an example of what cricketers are and have family man, all that kind of stuff, but I don't think it's going to sell much. And he's still playing, so he can't dish the dirt on things, and he's not the kind of dish the dirt kind of guy anyway. Yeah. He's an upstanding citizen.
I don't think AB's ever said a horrible thing about anyone.
No, I don't think he has either. And motorsport, Italian Grand Prix yesterday, big drama. Lewis Hamilton, who was umming and ahhing with a troublesome clutch He went from first until sixth basically on the first lap, right?
Right.
It's the first time in 7 years that someone has not won the GP in Monza from pole. So Lewis Hamilton looking to kind of increase his lead and increase the records that he's setting on the track. Well, he couldn't. He did manage to fight back and finish second. Nico Rosberg won yesterday, so he is now only 2 points behind Hamilton with seven races to go. Bloody exciting that, as well as for Bernie Eccleston and other people who have lots of money. F1 is going to be sold this week to an American media group for around $8.5 billion. We'll get into that and a whole bunch more sport in the second hour.
All right, lots of stuff to look forward to, but right now we're going to get some music going and then we'll speak to Anthea. We've got Anthea for, on a Monday, we got a little more time with Anthea, so we'll get into that. Fat Joe resigned from East Coast Radio. He'll join us in a short while on the phone. He's looking forward to at least, having a bit of freedom again in his day, in his daily and weekly schedule.
After such a long stint Coast Radio.
Like, I heard a promo of his, because, I was in Durban over the weekend. So I heard a promo of his on Saturday. Him joking around and some listener calling in and saying, "Oh, Joe, we love you so much." Meanwhile, the guy had already resigned and they were still playing his promos. Radio is so used. They're so out of their... They don't know what's going on. Radio management, it must be the worst place to be in the whole world right now because nobody knows what's happening. They're all headless chickens running around, no idea of what's next. They've got no talent to deal with. And it's all happening online. This is what I predicted. I hate to say I told you so, but that's what's happening. These guys are completely confused. So, all right, hang on for more up after this. Girl, Anthea. Up with it, girl. Show them it, girl. Bada bang bang. Bounce with it, girl. Dance with it, girl. Get with it, girl. Bada bang bang. Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. Yeah, that's Sia with Cheap Thrills. Oh, please remind me, I got a story about Sia and Rihanna. This song, I'll tell you about this song. But I can't tell you now because we've got to get to Anthea, right? Okay, so speaking of Anthea Gardner, it is time to find out who works hard for her money. And here she is.
Why say we let such a letter? Anthea gotta touch a letter. Anthea, why say we let such a letter? Umutware
handle. Anthea, what's happening, Anthea?
Morning, Gareth.
Don't sound so serious after that great song.
I know, the only asset manager in the country with her own song.
That's right. Everywhere she goes, people greet her with this song. It's like the way the president walks into the room and they play that march. All right, so what were you saying?
Well, it's all good news, really, because the market was up almost 2% on Friday.
Wasn't Friday great? I looked at my screen. I was so excited.
You are doing very well. Naspers, 2,491 Rand, it closed on Friday. So you've done very well, right?
Yeah.
And I see Tencent is trading higher in Asia, 3% higher in Asia this morning. So I think we're looking at a 2,500 Rand share very soon.
Right.
Very exciting. So I think it was all driven really on the back of the U.S. non-farm payrolls. Unfortunately for them, it came in lower than expected. 155,000 new jobs were created in August. We were expecting 190,000. But what that did was that it drove investors to emerging markets. And so, of course, we were a beneficiary of that. Even though the rand was stronger on Friday, our market was higher. And again, these U.S. non-farm payrolls, all it's done is confirm, in inverted commas, that we're not going to get a rate hike in the U.S. in September. So now we're looking for December. Even after what Janet Yellen said, it's time. I think it'll be delayed until December, at least now. So right. the Fed meeting is on the 21st of this month.
Nice.
But nothing will happen.
You don't think so?
No. Okay. And then PPC was up almost 8% on Friday. And this is a bit odd because on Wednesday, what happened was the share went ex rights. In other words, if you were owning PPC shares, you know they're doing this rights issue.
Uh-huh.
It fell by the kind of, how do I explain this? The null paid letters, we call them. So if you were holding PPC shares, you are no longer privy to taking up your rights in the new issue. Remember, they're issuing billion shares at R4 a share, right? And so what happens? Yes. So what happens instead is you have something called nil paid letters, and so instead of the rights, you now can trade these nil paid letters.
Yes.
And PPC shares are trading 6.58 on Friday from 9 Rand something. And then the null paids are trading at 2.56. So if you want to get, if you want to buy or take up more shares in the rights issue, you can buy these null paids. The code on the JSE is actually PPCN, N for null paids.
Yes.
So they will tell us the complete breakdown of the rights issue on the 19th of September. And really what's going to happen is the null payouts will disappear and PPC will just be issued more shares into the market. And I'm
Would you buy some?
You know, I'm tempted to. I really am, just because it's come off so much and it almost looks cheap. My concern is still about the African operations, because about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I loved the share. I really did love the share, because they were doing expansion offshore and the margins they were getting in kind of Côte d'Ivoire, where there's huge growth going on, by the way, mm-hmm. and other areas, like, and also Ethiopia. The margins they were getting on a bag of cement compared to what they were getting here was like, I think it was triple.
Wow. Okay, so if they expand that, there could be some value.
But the problem is there have been delays in that, in the building of the plants. And also, there's a lot of competition, you know, there's global competition, Lafarge and all these. So,
come on, Anthea, give us a, out of 10, 10 being I'm definitely buying some and 1 being I won't touch it. 5 is in the middle. Where are we?
Oh, I'm vacillating. No, I'm going to stay away from it.
Okay, 4.
For now. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And then remember last week we spoke very briefly about Bob Diamond's company, Atlas Mara. They reported results. Their earnings was down 73%.
Oof.
And I see last week the PIC, because you know he was trying to buy the Barclays Africa Group stake from Barclays PLC. Mm-hmm. And then the PIC, who managed the government
Public Investment Corporation, yeah.
That's right. Right. They were saying they wanted to put together, they wanted to keep the business or Barclays Africa Group South African, and they were trying to put together a group of black shareholders. Last week they announced, or I'm not sure if it was an official announcement or if it was just leaked into the market, that actually they haven't been able to do it because this group of investors have not been able to raise the financing.
Hmm.
And then on top of that, there was also the Dubai-based Abraj Capital,
right,
who were also interested in buying the Barclays stake, but they actually let their exclusivity agreement lapse. So now suddenly, going from having 3 and maybe even 4 potential buyers for this 12.5% of Barclays PLC,
mm-hmm.
Which is the Barclays Africa Group from Barclays PLC, looks like there's nobody.
Uh-oh.
So I think what they're going to be forced to do is actually leak it into the market so that market participants, if they want to, can buy some. I think it's a tough one. It's fairly indicative of what's going on in the market about financing and how they can't raise financing. And of course, it's not that it's a bad company or that they're not making money. It's that Barclays PLC have to hold an extra £650 million on their balance sheet in cash as capital against anything kind of against their business here, and it costs them money. So to just hold money in cash,
yeah,
you're not making it work for you. It's just a drain on your balance sheet. So
not good.
And that's why Barclays PLC are trying to sell.
Right.
Not because they're not getting a return on their investment or on their assets.
And whoever buys it will end up with the same problem. Oh, so why buy it?
Internationally, generally, yes.
Yeah, don't touch it.
So for a big company, yeah. But if you were just a private investor buying it, then why not, right? If they're making decent returns.
Yeah.
Barclays Africa, that is.
I'd say stay away from that too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, actually, I did say last week I am a bit nervous of these banks at the moment, right? So,
all right.
And then another company that's hit the news, UI. It's a local insurer owned by OUTsurance. And you know OUTsurance is 83% owned by RMI, Rand Merchant Insurance Holdings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a company I like, RMI, that is. They also own 25% of Discovery. They own 25% of Momentum. They own a business called Alpha Code, which does a whole lot of fintech stuff.
Yeah.
Programming, right. Innovation.
Alpha
that's
code,
the word.
Yeah. Got you.
Uh-huh. And so this UI business, are facing allegations of bad sales techniques. And what they've done in the past is that, I know it's
insurance, so bad sales techniques? Never.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So what they do is it's a phone thing. So you phone in and the salespeople are so motivated to sell that they're actually signing up clients without approval from the clients. And they've already pleaded guilty to 15 cases in New Zealand. And last week, 140 people in Australia came forward and said they've done the same to them. I must admit, last week, I was a bit worried about it. I thought that RMI would come off because, you know, these unlisted businesses have got huge upside potential, like OUTsurance and even Discovery, kind of, even though they're listed, there's big green fields out there and they're in kind of growing globally. So it should add quite a lot to RMI's share price. But I held on and I'm glad I did. The share came off a little bit, but it's fine. I think hopefully. So it's so difficult to quantify whether or not UI or UE, I think it could even be pronounced. It's spelt Y-O-U-I.
Here's Grant wants to know, why has Steinhoff had a sudden drop? What's going on there, Anthea?
So that's got to do with the Rand price because the Rand is so much stronger or has been so much stronger. And then, of course, 2 weeks ago, it suddenly weakened.
Because that's a hedge, right?
Yes, it's a Rand hedge. And then also they're spending a lot of money on acquisitions, which should only become fruitful in the next 6 months to a year, right? Okay. They're trying to consolidate. This is this big Mattress King business. So it's a
consolidation. All right, so hang on to those. Just sit tight, basically.
Yeah, I would sit tight. No, don't kind of. That's the thing with shares, right? They go up and down. They never go up in a straight line. And what you don't want to do is sell at the bottom. That's the last thing you want to do.
All right, last little bit before we get out of here. The battery blowing up the Samsung Note 7. How did that affect Samsung's shares
in South Korea? This was fairly huge because Samsung were going to recall 2.5 million of these new big screen Note 7 smartphones, right? So Samsung have 24% of the smartphone market. Apple has 17%.
Yes!
And they were trying to get in ahead of the new iPhone release this week. And when they asked the company what it was going to cost them to do this recall, the spokesperson said they can't give us a full amount, but it's a heartbreaking amount. The analysts have done some work and they think it'll be about $1 billion.
Oh, that's going to hit your bottom line, right?
Well, it's only 5% of Samsung's net income for the year. Because they make $28.6 billion. So just as a kind of before I go, for every Samsung's Note 7 sold, the company makes $600 in revenue and $108 in operating profit. So that's the profit they make, $108 from one phone.
That's a lot.
It is a lot, which is why I put it out there, because I thought it was quite a big number when I saw it. And I think it'll just, and you know, it's more than just the cost of the $1 billion. I think it's reputational risk for Samsung. So the share came off a little bit, but it's fine. It's back to where it was. You know, it's one of those shares. In the last 5 years, the Samsung share is up 110%. Since listing in 2003, it's up 363%. So not exactly like our Naspers or Steinhoffs or Braits or any of those, but not bad. And it's very much a family-run business. So, yeah, I think they'll carry on, and it'll be a reputational thing.
All right. Thank you, Anthea.
My pleasure.
Quick look at what's going on in the markets. The Money Shot Daily. We usually chat to Anthea for a couple of minutes just between 6:30 and 6:45. On Mondays, we do a little extended version on touchcentral.fm. If you're listening to us on the web and you haven't downloaded the app yet, do it. Thousands of people have, and they can't be wrong. Right, Mubs?
Absolutely.
If all thousands and thousands and perhaps even hundreds of thousands, I don't even know what the number is at this point, but if you haven't downloaded it, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies, tell everyone you know that there is more out there than just boring radio. You can have a whole world of new, exciting stuff happening on your phone. The one piece of equipment you never leave home without. Just make sure you don't keep it to yourself, you know? Spread the word. That's what we want. We want everybody on board. This is exciting. You got to share this stuff. Only a selfish, horrible, nasty idiot would keep it to themselves. Coming up in a little while, we speak to Fat Joe, who's just left East Coast Radio. We'll talk to Jeffrey Yates about the Paralympics. Fiki Limbalula will join us. And we'll also have Michael Tellinger telling us about ancient civilizations that used to exist right here, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. It's an exciting morning. Touch Central, Cliff Central. Good morning. CliffCentral.com.